Foreman spoke of somewhere between 8 and 10 of them.
He ambushed them with his Armalite? And Abe's got that cannon of a Colt Python. I reckon they'd outgun any backwoods posse most days of the week.
No, Cotter. When they found what the scavengers had left of the corpses, it was still clear how they met their ending. Each one of them had his throat cut open.
Ryan bit his lip, trying to imagine a scenario that would have led to Trader choosing to take out so many pursuers in that particular way. JB was a little ahead of him.
At night, while they were sleeping, backtracked and crept up on them in the early hours when they were out of it.
I never figured for Abe being any use at that kind of attack. Tracking and silence weren't that high on his list of things he did well. They caught Abe, held him, thought they were safe with just one old man out there, all on his own in the cold and the wet.
Right. That makes good sense. And in he came.
Like a lean wolf whose enemies thought him toothless. This traitor is a remarkable man.
No argument there. So when was all this chilling? Any news of him since? Know where he might be now, Al?
So many questions, let me see. To take them in order, some weeks ago, not really, just the occasional sighting of a pair of ridge runners seen at twilight against the skyline. And I have no idea where they might be now. The latest word I had was that they had gone away northwest, up toward the dreadful ruins of old Seattle.
I'm sorry to hear that death still sits at Trader's shoulder, Al. But I'd be surprised if most of the corpses didn't deserve their ending.
I would not argue with that. But the key word is most, is it not? The woman had two little children, lackbrains, I believe. She fell over a cliff, they say. But your traitor, or Abe, shot her first.
Could have been a reason.
Perhaps.
Chilling sometimes comes around a blind corner, and there's no time to think about a reason. We thank you for your hospitality, but we must get to our beds. If the weather eases at all, we need to be on the road.
I understand, Mr. Dix. You have promises that you must try to keep, and you have many miles to go.
Right.
Then sleep well, Outlanders. I'll tidy up here and retire myself. Until morning.
The news of the traitor and his trail of butchery had laid a steel blade between the hermit and his guests. The ease of the previous evening had gone, and their breakfast was hurried and uncomfortable. The wind had dropped, and there were only a few flakes of snow whispering down from the overcast sky. Al set them right for their destination, standing in the doorway of his cabin as they started off, muffled against the cold. His blind eyes followed the sound of their boots, crunching through the white carpet.
I hope you find what you seek.
They didn't reply, eager to get on their way, eager to journey the last miles. Trader rubbed at his stomach.
Still feel that pain in my guts. Not so bad as it once was, but still like swallowing a king crab.
It could be hunger pains. My belly keeps rubbing on my backbone. This snow doesn't mean he's awful starved.
Nah. I saw a rabbit from the mouth of this cave only an hour ago. Hadn't got my Armalite or I'd have taken it.
So why don't we go out hunting?
Cold gets in my joints. No hurry, Abe.
All right. Then I'll go and get us something for the pot, and I'll get some more wood for the fire as well.
Good, good. Have I asked you how long it is to go before our planned rendezvous with Ryan?
Only about 50 times a day, Trader.
Gradually, over the last months, Abe had lost some of his fear for his old leader, though he still respected him. Maybe even more than when he'd ridden the war wags with him. And he could never ever forget the debt he owed Trader for saving his life from the posse.
And what was the answer?
We're just 5 days away from the original deadline, and counting. Need to be a whole lot nearer to the edge of the old ville, Trader.
We'll move this afternoon and hunt at the same time. Satisfied?
Sure.
The weather had been patchy, with some cold, clear days, followed by several periods of wet snow from a leaden sky. Trails were still difficult, but not impassable. On a bright morning, 2 days earlier, Abe had climbed to the top of a nearby hill, staring toward the tumbled ruins of Seattle, wondering whether the message had even reached Ryan, JB, and the others in the far-off big deserts of the Southwest, and whether Abe would ever live to see his friends again. After his escape from the posse, he and Trader had been constantly on the move, only stopping in the many abandoned cabins that were scattered around the Cascades when the weather closed in on them. It had been a hard time for both of them. Though they were free of the pursuit, the land was inherently hostile, the cold and snow a constant danger. Abe had sprained an ankle, falling badly over the wrecked and rusting remains of an ancient semi hidden beneath the blizzard. And Trader's variety of old wounds, injuries, and illnesses kept him quieter and much less active than usual.
Should I go and hunt now?
Trader shook his head. It had been several days since either of them had shaved, and his cheeks and chin were covered with a silvery stubble.
Leave it a while. Warmer days are coming, hon. I mean, Abe. Let's stay where we are in this good old cave.
What worried Abe was that the good old cave had contained a substantial heap of gnawed bones and rotting flesh. As well, there were piles of fairly fresh bear droppings in the woods, only a few yards away.
I'll go later.
Sure, Abe, sure. You notice how this place makes your voice sort of echo and sound odd?
Yeah, hollow kind of sound.
I tell you about the time me and Marsh Folsom came across that cache of...
The war wags up in the Alps? Yeah, sure you have. But that was 30 years gone.
I know that. You best stop treating me like your fucking troublesome grandpa, Abe, or you'll have my blaster where the sun don't shine.
I'm sorry, but you...
When Marsh and me found... Oh, come on, for fuck's sake, help me out a little.
When you found that huge store of gas 150 miles north of the old Villa Boston...
No, though, oh, that's true. I even tell you what happened to Marsh Folsom, the way it all ran out for him. Did I tell you?
Yeah, plenty of times. But you were going to tell me something different, Trader.
I was?
You was.
What?
You started saying how our voices sounded in the cave and that it reminded you of something.
Sure thing. I got the ace on the line now. Me and Marsh was north of the Big Lakes. Them days we spent a lot of our hunting time in the north and the east. Good for pre-dark stuff. We found this old... kind of a redoubt, I guess it was.
Using those gateways and MATTRANS units. Ryan and the others been into dozens of redoubts all over.
You told me that scads at times, Abe. I'll believe them when I see them. These jump gates.
Abe didn't bother to correct him, looking out beyond the sinking fire into the dull morning, where snow was already starting to turn to rain.
This redoubt we found was small, sort of a hidden warehouse for military hardware. Ryan and me... No, this has to be before Ryan and the Armorer came and joined us. Before the War Wags, I think. What do you think?
Before my time, Trader.
This place was 2 floors high and contained 40 or 50 rooms. Each of them at once held a different kind of weapon or explosive. Plasex, Nitro, Semtex, good old black powder even, and any number of grens.
Frags?
Sure. Blue and red implodes, remotes and nervies, burners and stuns, delayings and plain high X, shraps and smokies, lights and even some high outs.
What kind of firing mechanisms?
Both, Abe. Flip-tops and two-step buttons. Seem to be thousands of them.
Just you and Marsh Folsom?
Points like this is where my memory gets sort of foggy, Abe. Those days, I think I traveled with a handful of good men and women. 5 or 6 of us. Taylor and Rathman. Man who did it was called Wyoming Johnny. Tall, with hair that was split half black and half white. Got himself caught in a nasty acid spill somewhere up near Old Cheyenne. Face looked like it was made from minced tomatoes.
What did he do?
What I told him not to. We could see straight off that some of those grins were double-edgy, greasy and sweating, you know? Cases split and rusting here and there. Me and Marsh agreed we'd take a look around, stepping like we was on eggshells. Not risk touching anything. Only take anything that we both thought was safe.
What about Wyoming Johnny?
I used to think the acid hit his head and made him sort of simple.
And?
Sickness hasn't gone away. Just sleeping and waiting its moment. Where was I?
In the redoubt with Marsh, Wyoming Johnny, and a few others.
We was in a passage that opened up out back into some old trenches and stuff. Decided that this was too dangerous. Only risk worth taking is the one you have to take. We'd agreed to leave it and move on. We realized that Johnny wasn't with us no more and heard this scream.
I knew a man once got his jaw torn off by a pre-dark can of pork and beans. He shook it, and it was just ready and waiting to blow.